The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 9th of July. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely fantastic co-host, the lovely Tabitha Beasley.
Are you still speaking to me? I'm so sorry. That was really rude. And Alison Palmer has picked me up on it, so I apologise.
Hey, listen. I've been called far worse than that by people far closer to me. Don't you worry. That's fine. Cool. Well, we've had a first part of the show that's been packed. We've got a second part of the show that's going to be just as packed with two more guests to talk to. We've still got loads of emails and tweets to read out. I'm going to start with an email, I think. I made reference to it just now anyway when Fruit Bowl Media tweeted, but this is the Tech Expo UK, and it's at the Kent Events Centre at Detling, that's at the county showground, on Thursday the 26th of September from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Tech Expo UK is a one-day exhibition and seminar bringing together industry experts to help business owners to understand what technology is out there and how it can help them run, build and grow their business more effectively and more efficiently. We have one of the world's top technology companies, Microsoft, providing our keynote seminar, and they will be sharing with us how they are working to support businesses of all sizes. We're also looking at one of the biggest fears we all have, which is staying human in a digital world. So the speakers at the event are Brian Sutton from Microsoft, and he's going to be talking about how Microsoft is developing to help business. Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence, talking about cybersecurity. Ben Abbott, who's the CEO of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth from Child & Child talking about digital law and IP, intellectual property. And then, interestingly, Bill Burton from the Dale Carnegie Group, being human in a digital world. As well as the keynote speakers, there's some workshops. Aaron Taylor, CEO of 62 Technology, stop the sales pitch, start the conversation. Mike Hacker, commonly known to all of us as Hacks, who's the CEO of Prisma Broadcast, how the proper use of video can propel your business forward. And the lovely Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, international speaker, TV and radio star, having an adaptable content strategy plan. All this plus roundtables, panel discussions, networking meetups, and a full exhibition of many, many suppliers and vendors of digital and technology equipment and services. If you're a supplier who provides a tech-based solution to help business owners run, build or grow their business more efficiently, and you'd like to showcase your brand to hundreds of business owners meeting face-to-face with them in a buzzing trade show environment, there are a few exhibition spaces left, but not many. For all of your needs, whether you're exhibiting or attending as a free delegate, if you go to www.techexpouk.com, techexpouk.com, you can find out all about it and book your space there. So, young Tabitha,
yep.
What you got for me?
Help bridge the gap between schools and businesses. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through Skills 3030. In this two-hour event, businesses hear from a local authority and relevant recruitment groups, while students take part in an employment-related workshop. Then, both groups get together for facilitated speed networking. So for businesses, the programme is 1 hour of networking and presentations, FSB lobbying update, Kent-supported employment team, enterprise advisor network, and Paul Andrews?
Oh, yeah.
On talking about skills and employment. For students, there's a one-hour workshop, how to present yourself at work, how to stand out in your new job, and using LinkedIn to your advantage. For both the businesses and the students together, there's a 40-minute facilitated networking and 10-minute free networking. So if you would like to know more about this, please email Alison Palmer, so that's alison.palmer@fsb.org.uk. So this is a really fantastic event, isn't it, Paul? I know you heavily support these events.
Yep. We did one last week, actually, in Broadstairs. It was a fantastic event. We had loads of fun. Hello, guys. I had the trouble class.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, they were brilliant. Yeah, I had the trouble class. They were great. Well done, guys. Now, these are fantastic events. We've just completed our 1,000th student through the programme. And we've got a whole bunch more schools lined up now. It's been slow progress getting schools to sign. It's totally free. Everything is totally free. It ticks all their Gatsby benchmarks, and it also will start to help them build contacts for when the new T-levels roll out in 2020. But it's been a slow burn in terms of getting schools on board, but it's gathering pace now. You've just read out the next ones. I actually have... two schools booked for 2020 as well.
The date was the 25th. The date is the 25th of September. Yep. And this is at Haysbrook School in Tunbridge.
Yeah.
And following that, there is the 20th of November.
Yeah.
At Longacre. Oh, I'm just making it up now. Yep. Longfield Academy in Dartford.
Cool.
So it's 25th of September in Tunbridge and 20th of November in Dartford.
I can't remember the date, but we've got Maskell School in Paddock Wood early in 2020 and then the Wilmington Academy on the 21st of July 2020. So we're building them up. Do come along. They're great fun. They really are good fun. And it's your chance to influence the next generation of work. Generation Z, entering the workforce, boys and girls. That, just to make you feel really old, Generation Z have just entered the workforce and they are people that were born after the year 2000.
Yeah, okay, you've done it.
I know. I saw a sharp intake of breath there.
Lovely picture from Gemma Faircloth-Haynes when she was on Business Bunker 2, Business Bunker Extra, Friday, and she brought along her lovely...
Work experience guy.
Yeah, and she put a photo on Instagram and I replied saying... How old is he? I was just interested. And he's 15, so we could actually be his mother. I could be his mother, Gemma could be his mother.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
It's certainly a worry, isn't it? Yeah. Now, cool. So do come along if you're a business owner. We have these events all over the Kent and Medway. It's a couple of hours. It's free. You normally get a bit of nosh as well if you're lucky. But they're great fun, and it's your chance to influence the workforce of the future.
And I think that's really important because a lot of people are starting to complain. You know, employers are starting to say how the next generation are coming up. They expect everything. They're not sort of prepared for work. We'll help them.
It's a real eye-opener for employers as well. It works in both ways. You know, a lot of people go there expecting to educate young people, which they do, into what the world of work expects from them.
But they need to educate us as well.
But they also find out what they need to do to attract Generation Z to come and work for them. And they also suddenly find out that Generation Z actually have talents that they don't have because they were born with it in their DNA, especially with digital talents and things like that. There is a wealth of people out. We're going to talk to Keith in a moment about this. There's a wealth of people out there in under all kinds of circumstances, be mental health issues, disability issues, homelessness issues, all kinds of people out there with talent. We need to get those people into the workforce. 3030 is one of those vehicles for talking to school people about getting into the world of work. So do support it. It's a fantastic thing.
And all these women. Alison has actually just put out another tweet about it. So copying in myself at Tabitha is TMA and at Vanilla Web saying that they about the details of the next event. So it's on eventbrite.co.uk. Do check that out. So Skills 3030.
Fantastic. I just had a tweet from Lisa Settle as well. She said, really enjoying the Business Bunker show. Thanks for a fabulous Business Bunker shout, Business Diary shout out. Please say hello to Mabs for me. Off to Longfield Academy tomorrow to do interview training with students there. So it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. But do you know what? I think it's about time we talk to our next guest, don't you? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome into the studio for the first time, Kay Skelton of Maidstone United Football Club. And she is joined by the fantastic Mr. Keith Mabbott of the Street Soccer Foundation, who has been on the show before. In fact, Keith first came on the show when he had the idea of launching Street Soccer, and he came on and talked about it, and we all went, yeah, go on then, Keith, go on. And boy, has he gone on and done it then. So welcome to Keith and Kay. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker show. It'd be probably best if Keith goes first to give us, set up the intro for the two people in Kent that don't know the Street Soccer Foundation. Why don't you give us an overview, Keith?
It's great to be back. Thanks, Paul. And also big love to Lisa as well. And also the 30-30 event is awesome. I've personally supported
You've been on a few, haven't you?
Yeah, it's a really, really fantastic event. Yeah. So thank you to Alison and you, Paul, for that invitation. The Street Soccer Foundation, we founded the organisation in 2015, launched it in partnership with West Ham United and the club's foundation to kind of essentially pilot the programme that we'd come up with, which ultimately at that time was an idea to help the homeless around the area. And West Ham essentially came from us meeting with the PFA, the Professional Football Association, because I'd come up with the idea to launch a vehicle to help support change in vulnerable young people through the power of football. And I knew I had to tack on to it, sort of using that sort of loose word, but tack on to a kind of bigger brand to have it recognised and engaged by young people. So they introduced us to West Ham, and West Ham were very embracing of the idea. And we launched that around sort of September, October 2015. And ultimately, on the back of that first pilot programme, we achieved some real outcomes and I guess case studies of young people that it genuinely impacted very, very favourably. And that gave me a real incentive to formalise it, I guess, and turn it into a proper organisation, a proper charity. And I always had the intention to bring it into Kent, because obviously that's where I live. So we took it to Gillingham Football Club, the professional club in Kent at the time there, and we ran that with them throughout the next season. And again, the impact was just incredible, really, really sort of heartwarming, I guess, in one way, but also challenging. It comes with lots of different emotions. Vulnerable young people, there's a lot going on, and everyone's different. They're all on a personal journey, and they come to us in all different states of mind and abilities and kind of outlooks. And so we learned a hell of a lot along the way, both from the young people that we supported and those that came on board to help us deliver the programme. So that's where Kay and I met, actually, because Kay joined Gillingham Football Club on the charity side to head up the trust at the club as CEO. And that was, I think, in our second season at Gillingham. And Kay and I instantly had a rapport and a very common outlook in terms of what we were looking to achieve with the foundation, Paul. So we kicked it on from there. And I guess the last 12 months in particular have been a real whirlwind in terms of our development and growth and I guess scalability, which I'm more than happy to go on to.
Yeah. But by all means, you know, the kind of stuff you've been doing has just been blowing everyone away. It's just fantastic. And it shows you the power of something like football in the community, doesn't it? Maybe we can bring Kay in. Kay, you're with Maidstone United. Tell us a little bit about your role with Maidstone.
So Maidstone United have recently formalised a charitable trust called the Stones Community Trust, which I am now heading up. We've just obtained our charitable status. And that was set up solely to change lives for Maidstone and the wider Kent area.
Yeah.
By using football, as you quite rightly say, as the draw and the carrot to get people engaged, many from hard-to-reach backgrounds and many in very vulnerable situations. One of the first projects I had the pleasure of kicking off was a street soccer academy in partner with the Street Soccer Foundation, held at Maidstone United. And on day one, you know, these young people came to Maidstone United, and then we went up to West Ham for the launch day, which was incredible for me as a West Ham fan. Sorry, guys.
Oh, you didn't tell me about this, Keith.
Sorry, Oliver at Maidstone and Terry.
There's one more of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, in all seriousness, that first academy impacted my life like you would never imagine. I've been working with community and in professional and non-league football for over 25 years. Did I say that quick enough? But actually, day-to-day, meeting the young people and helping them through their journey was very humbling, very incredible and very powerful, because remarkably, using the power of football, Street Soccer Foundation have had 100% success rate in getting those people that have been on the programme into either employment, education or training. And for me, that's the whole reason I got into community development in the first place, to change lives, and that does exactly what it says on the tin.
I just want to make this reference as well, because for local people around the Maidstone area, they kind of know a little bit about the journey of Maidstone United Football Club and the nomad years. It's why it's so important to have a community feel to something, and to bring Maidstone back to the town and to build a community around that has proved to be incredibly important, not just for football and not just for football supporters. And that's a big thing that we don't always kind of recognise, especially in this day of Premier League football, where, you know, you have global fan bases for things, but grassroots football is really, really important. And I just want to, I need to say this because it was, when I was a kid, I played for Maidstone. Okay. Ah. Yeah. And I'm still traumatised by being managed by Barry Fry, I have to tell you. I learned every swear word I know from Mr.
Sure
Fry.
You learned a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I also played local league football. And I was on a TV program about 6 months ago, and while I was waiting to go on the program, I was in the green room, and they had the news on, and there was a news report about Maidstone and District Football League, which is one of the oldest amateur football leagues in the world, basically. And they were saying how they were on the point of folding because they only had six teams left. Now, when I played, there were nine divisions, you know, and there were like 18 teams in each division. And yeah, you have problems getting players now and again, but there were loads. So kind of local football started to die off a bit, I guess, because there's so many other things to conflict with it. But it's so important to have these local sports teams, and a local non-league team like Maidstone makes a big difference to the community. And I just needed to say that because I felt it was a shame that we're kind of losing football teams when there's so much being given back by professional teams. Yeah. Okay. So, Keith, run us through what you're up to now. I know you've got things that you're going to announce that you're going to be doing fairly soon, and we'll talk about that towards the end. But I want people to get a complete feel for the type of things you're doing, because what you're doing is brilliant, and the kind of differences that you're making to people's lives and how you're doing that.
Thank you. The very most recent achievement, I guess, within the foundation is we've just run another academy, which again was with West Ham. West Ham obviously are our founding partner, so we really to build that out with the club, and they're fully supportive of what we're doing. But I guess in the last, I'd say, 3 months, the foundation has... And some of this isn't public domain just yet, and we will be announcing this as the sort of months go by into the new season. But I will say that we've got ready to be announced. In total, we're now partnered with 9 Premier League football clubs on the charity side.
Fantastic.
So those trusts or foundations.
Yep.
We've announced, I think, 3 of them. And that's been all credit to the team collectively, but also, I guess, the proof in the impact that the program's making, because we've got so many case studies, I guess, and testimonials from young people that, frankly, that's what it's all about. Mm. So not just me sort of diving onto these clubs and saying, we've got a great street soccer program, please run it with us. Mm. Clearly, they need to know the impact because they're Premier League football clubs. And so we're fortunate that I can sit here and talk for the rest of the afternoon, which I won't do, but for so many young people that have come through the programme, that it's genuinely really, really helped them and turned their lives around for the better. A very most recent example I'll give you, because I'm so immensely proud of it. I'm proud of all of them, but in particular, I offered a young person who, since coming through the programme, so he was homeless before joining the academy.
What kind of age is he, Keith?
So he's 21.
Right.
So he's 21, guy called Michael. He was homeless before coming onto the programme. We ran it in Medway in Kent in partnership with the Jill's Trust. And he joined the academy, went through the academy, did exceptionally well. He does have a degenerative back issue, and it's not getting any better, unfortunately. So already in the first week, he was unsure if he would even be selected onto the programme. But we took him onto the programme, very much all embracing, and his attitude and everything else was just exemplary. And so, you know, he just hadn't had people believe in him.
Yeah.
And so he lost his confidence, and he was very low, and it was a very dark space and it was a dark time for the young man. And but we instantly believed in him and said, you know, we'd love to have him on the programme, and even if he couldn't take part in the full sessions, you know, out on the pitch, you know, be there for his teammates.
Yeah.
And so straight away, we're kind of having a one-to-many side of things.
Mm.
So he's not there in isolation, as a lot of these young people out there are. They feel they're isolated. And we've touched upon social media earlier on, and lots of people on social media, and maybe, like you said as well, Paul, about the actual taking part in football, a lot of them will play games and play football and play FIFA and that, rather than go out in the park and kick a ball around. So, you know, we encouraged him greatly to be a part of the programme. He did. He was... he graduated with flying colours. He became an ambassador. We selected him and a few others from his attitude that he gave away, which was so empowering for the others around him. And having made him an ambassador, we kept in touch with him very much so, like we do many of them. Not all of them, because not all of them need that.
Yeah, sure.
But he was one in particular that we did. And having graduated the programme, he relocated up to Manchester, found himself a place, got a girlfriend who's now his fiancée.
Wow.
And, you know, he's now got a full-time job, works in a hotel in Manchester. So I called him up completely unannounced and said, we've got an event just over the road, if you like, in Liverpool, not too far from you up there. And it's going to be at Anfield Football Club. Liverpool Football Club, home of, you know, Anfield, home of Liverpool Football Club. And we're going to announce a new partnership that Street Soccer has got with Liverpool's Foundation. Would you like to speak at the event in front of an audience of 50 to 100 business leaders across the Northwest? Mm. And, you know, this, so context wise, you know, when he joined our program, you know, he had his head down. Yeah. He was very shy, very introverted, and didn't even finish my sentence before he said, yes, when is the date? I'm there. And he was there, Paul, and I swear to God, he was, when he spoke, it was incredible. The whole room, Anfield, was completely quiet. Mm. When I was speaking, everyone was...
Yeah, who's this? Yeah, yeah. Shut up, get off.
It's quite rude.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was amazing. And I was at the back of the room and I was just taking it in. It was one of the moments I really did take it in. Yeah. Certainly not about me, but I grabbed that opportunity to grab the experience and remember it. And, you know, he was brilliant. And people were coming up to me after the end and saying he was the one who got it for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, they really got it. So,
isn't it amazing how human beings, so many human beings have terrible lives purely because... people don't believe in them, and therefore they don't believe in themselves.
Yeah,
isn't that amazing? Sometimes it makes me really angry as well, where we set up society with our skewed version of what success is. Yeah, especially when you talk about schools. I don't mind saying this because, you know, my background is similar to this. When I do the schools program, I quite often say to the pupils, ignore the GCSEs, they're a load of old cobblers anyway, yeah, which teachers don't like. But the reality of life is that academic exams only suit a small proportion of people. And what we should do is encourage those small proportion of people to do academic exams. But then we need to do stuff for the people that aren't academic. And for 300 years, we've completely ignored 70% of young people, especially young boys. Yeah, young men tend to be slightly worse at this than girls, you know. So just believing in someone can have a profoundly amazing effect on someone's life, can it not?
Massive, Paul. And what you've touched upon there is an element of the semantics of how we deliver the programme. Mm. So when young people are in the classroom environment after their football coaching, and Kay will know this because Kay's witnessed it firsthand, that we make it very clear to every single one of those young people that they're there on their terms, and they're there because they want to be there.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to be there, there's the door, as it were. It's an open door. They can leave. Yeah. And if it's not for them, leave.
Yeah.
Absolutely, isn't it the case? You know, not one person has ever walked up and left the room, and that's since 2015. We're in 2019 now.
Yeah.
So, you know, because we kind of get across to them that, you know, we believe in them, we care about them, we build that trust and loyalty, and then we very much quickly kind of embed the idea of this is a Street Soccer United. You're one as a person, but you're part of a team, and there's a collective measure here to enable both you to learn and achieve and, like you say, build up your confidence and self-esteem and your outlook and resilience and all that great stuff. But in addition to that, help your peers, help the people around you. And then all of a sudden that kind of environment becomes so super positive, you can't help not to want to improve yourself, and doors just suddenly start opening, which is brilliant. And certainly I will say this, the Kent business community, genuinely, hand on my heart, has just been unbelievable. You said very, very, you know, at the very beginning, really kind, generous words about us, Paul, but that has absolutely come from the support we've been given, because we could achieve a lot of this, and if no one really got behind it and shared the stories and shared our success and achievements, actually a lot of it won't be known. So thank you for
this. This could be a tough question, and clearly, because I know you and I've known you a long time, I know that what a driving force you are behind this personally, and a lot of this is down to you and the people around you that have driven this. But what is there something else that you can put your finger on that you think is why so many of the business community have got behind it? What do you think has inspired them to want to get involved?
Yeah, I think certainly part of it is you It's like when you run a business, and when you're a small business owner, people buy people,
yeah.
and they buy into that individual. And yeah. you said earlier, if you've got an opportunity to create a business out of a passion, yeah. that's so exciting.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, similar to Ruth, you know, I heard about this statistic in homelessness on the radio, as you know,
yeah.
And it just hit me, and I thought, yeah. my goodness, you know, I know how powerful football can be. Yeah. Could this be my next step? Can I create something to try and engage these young people and kick it on from there? But I think it's one where you've got a real passion and enthusiasm behind what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you're kind of smiling as you're yeah. kind of describing what you're yeah. doing and achieving.
Yeah.
I think a massive thing for us, and I hope for many business owners that are listening into this, if you get a real sense of your why, your purpose, in why you're doing what you're doing, because I think that's really important. I do, you know, a lot of networking as well, as everyone knows. And, you know, many a time you'll come across people with the how and the what. And if you actually start with your why, I mean, I did a talk for the Chamber very recently, you know, Kent and Victor Chamber, and, you know, that was the subject matter, you know, start with your why. And, and ultimately, I gave across a story as to how it came about in the first place. But then people straight away buy into that, then they like it and they want to hear more. And then you get on to talk about how it's being achieved and what you're doing and what sort of impact you're making.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so they buy into you first, then they gain the idea and the insight into what it's doing.
Mm.
And then because they see it working, but regrettably in one way there's so much more we need to do and can do, they very generously want to help support in some way, whether that's volunteering, you know, yeah. come and talk to the lads and, you know, speaking about what their stories have been, or even coming to fundraising events, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really, really helped us. And at the same time, I guess, you know, being previously a business owner of myself, you know, I understand from their point of view what they may want to get out of it.
Sure.
Not always they're looking like that,
yeah.
but I guess we want to create opportunities for other businesses to meet each other as well. So yeah. we create a supporters club and yeah. we can introduce people like that as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, coming back to you and Maidstone United's role in what you're doing, kind of flesh out a bit the kind of vision that Maidstone have and where you're trying to take these community activities.
Okay, so we have really grand ambitions, as I think you do when you're starting out anything new. And we accept that football is our draw, but we are really looking to do a multitude of different types of projects. For example, we've got a men's mental health project launching in partnership with Samaritans.
Yeah.
We're doing a Fit for Life program in partnership with Safer Kent to help those young people that may be on the cusp of criminal activity,
yep.
keep them out of trouble. Not all of those people were interested in football, actually.
Right.
So, although we know that football is huge for us, and it's and the stadium is such a fantastic environment for people to come into and very inspiring, we don't want it to just be about football.
Yep.
So, for example, you know, we're doing arts and crafts activities through the summer
okay.
for young people.
Yep.
And we're doing a nutrition program for young people through the summer as well.
Mm.
So the trust itself wants to deliver a multitude of projects in the community for need. So, you know, education projects, we're doing literacy projects in primary schools, and that is with reading and writing. But sport is the sort of payback for knuckling down, if you like.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So sport still has an element in everything that we do.
Mm.
And we just want to genuinely make a difference. So
yeah.
we don't want to just go and do projects where you pay £20 a day to turn up to kick a ball about through the summer holidays.
Yeah.
We want to access those children that couldn't afford to pay £20, for example, to access
yeah.
those projects.
Yeah.
And there's a huge statistic, and I'm not going to bore you with it all, but there's a lot of young people in Kent that rely on free school meals.
Yeah.
So during the school holidays, they don't actually get fed.
Yeah.
So our programmes will include nutritious lunches for those children.
Fantastic.
And encouraging them to know how to make one very simply and very cheaply. Even down to the five-year-olds, you know, what a sandwich can contain, for example, and help to make it.
It's really interesting you say that. Far too many years ago for me to care to remember, I was involved with the Charlton Community Trust.
Okay, yeah, I know them very well.
Yeah, and one of the things that we did there in terms of encouraging young people, they were taking people from Peckham and South London and gang-orientated people. Absolutely. And putting them through a similar programme. But one of the things that really caught people's imagination was sport, nutrition, food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they managed to turn out quite a few graduates from their programmes that went on to become chefs or sports nutritionists, yeah, because in playing sport, they suddenly realise the importance of good quality food and stuff like that. So I love what you're doing. I absolutely do.
Yeah. So all of those things that, you know, we're involved in and we're rolling out across the next 12 to 18 months, and we're launching another street soccer academy at the end of July,
right.
Which will be run at the Gallagher Stadium.
Right.
And Keith is recruiting young people for that program as we speak. And again, that, you know, is something to really look forward to for me, because it's a day I go into work knowing that every time I interact with these young people, I learn something new.
Mm.
And it's absolutely inspiring. A very, very short story, but on the first day of the last program we delivered, it was pretty chaotic. Nobody really got on very well. Mm. And people were quite judgmental of ability. Some were quite good footballers, and those that weren't were judged quite harshly.
Boy, you were rubbish, you are.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you a story about that in a minute, Kay, don't you worry.
But by the end of week three, I would say, three or four, the actual main culprit, if you like, ended up being the role model for everybody else, and having a go at people that were moaning about the others.
Yeah.
And what a team that was at the end of the programme. I mean, absolutely incredibly inspiring and so different. And we had a couple of girls on that programme as well, which again was very inspiring, and we're hoping to expand that in the future to get more women involved.
Can I just ask really quickly, how do you recruit people? So obviously you're talking about, you know, these kids are potentially the kids that do slip through the net time and time again, and obviously they're not the ones who can afford to go to any extra lessons or holiday clubs. How do you go about, obviously you mentioned they can be quite isolated with regards to playing at, you know, computer games on their own or social media. What's your kind of way of recruiting and finding?
So to separate that out slightly, the Street Soccer Foundation programme is for 16 plus. So they would be people that are experiencing homelessness or homelessness issues or vulnerability issues. The younger children that are under 16 would very often on our programmes be school referred, local authority referred, or just general marketing and media communications that their parents may have picked up on. Keith can talk about the Street Soccer Foundation referrals as we get how we get the young people on, but they are 16 plus, so they're not ones that would generally pay for a service. And they are the ones that are the most vulnerable or the most in need, so they wouldn't even have access to that type of thing.
Yeah, and to be specific, you know, clearly homeless charities, because we're not a homeless charity, so we're a vehicle for change, and we work with those kind of organisations, youth trusts, housing associations, the job centre as well. So any organisation that work with vulnerable young people that ultimately they're looking for some form of, I guess, intervention, some form of alternative education, activities driven for improvements for health and wellbeing, that kind of thing. We're a perfect complement to their own provision already. So we will come into there to be very complimentary of what they're doing and give them a kind of signpost to refer young people to us. So we don't often, Tabitha, go physically to the streets to recruit, primarily for safeguarding reasons, but often they're those that are in temporary or sheltered accommodation.
That's fantastic. And like, as you say about, you know, the passion it's bringing out in people, if it doesn't make you get out of bed in the morning, there's no point doing it. And that's for any job, isn't it? Any role. So you've got your role and you're just loving it and helping people. And obviously what made you do what you do. But that's across for any business owner, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If it doesn't make you get out of bed in the morning, like pack up. And
absolutely. One of the things I love about football as a medium for this, though, is how football itself has reinvented itself. And now there are all kinds of different vehicles to play football at any level, yeah? You know, we have disabled football, we have blind football. I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society. We have deaf football teams. We even have football teams that I can play in, yeah?
Is that the walking football?
Of walking football, yeah. But Kay, we don't mention football in front of Keith and me because he's been hiding a video, that he doesn't want to produce in public.
It is going
to
come out,
but we're not going to say any more than that. Okay,
it will come out. It will come out.
I'll find that one day.
People are loving this chat, really on Twitter. We've got Fran Foreman again. Some great hearing about Street Soccer CIC on Business Bunker today. Keith, you've done the most amazing job in helping to turn around so many young lives.
He has.
Very humble, but this is all vision down to your vision and drive. So thank you very much, Keith and Paul, and obviously Kate for coming on and talking about it.
Absolutely. All power to what you're doing, guys. And keep on doing what you're doing.
Says Citizen Smith over there.
Yeah.
Power to the people.
Come the glorious day. Come the revolution, brothers
and
sisters.
We'll get you down to Maidstone now. That box.
The box he didn't know he owned.
Yeah. Funnily enough, for those of you that are old enough to remember Citizen Smith.
You're looking at me. I'm worried.
No. I was just going to... Mike Grady, who played Ken, the hippie, there's a picture of him on our wall there. Because he quite often comes in the studio here to talk to us about this, that and t'other. So, yeah, we have a bit of a connection with Citizen Smith. Anyway, listen, I want to know what you're up to next.
Yeah, sure. So we've got a lot going on at the moment. So I mentioned we've got announcements to come with clubs and foundations across the country where we're going to be in pockets all over the UK, which is really exciting. That's really, really exciting for us. I'm absolutely thrilled at that. So we now can take our programme nationwide and it will be delivered nationwide. The very next one to go outside of the southeast is in Liverpool, right, with Liverpool's foundation, and that will start on the 12th of September. So very, very... I guess that's a real groundbreaking moment for us as a foundation. Kay mentioned we've got another one, really politely speaking, at a grassroots level. So in comparison, you know, the champions of Europe, to Maidstone United, but they're equally important to us. Yeah. And I really sincerely mean that, sat next to Kay here, but it really does matter to us that we get into pockets across the country.
It's a balance, isn't it? The Premier clubs give you some gravitas and clout and all the rest of it, but what really happens is at the community level.
Absolutely.
And community football clubs like Maidstone are at the epicentre of this. They're the ones that really can make a big difference day to day.
Sorry, Keith, but the need for the young people doesn't differ from wherever you are, whichever football club you're attached to.
Yeah.
And actually, I can emulate what Fran said on Twitter about, without Keith's drive and ambition, none of this would have happened. And I have been batting all my working career to try and achieve this. So meeting Keith and working with Keith has enabled us to make a real difference locally and to get local non-league football clubs involved.
Yeah.
Because, they have a huge passion like the Premiership clubs do. So I'm hoping for an invitation to Liverpool just as a guest.
Yeah.
I'll say that live on air so Keith has to invite me now. but all jokes aside, it is incredible, and Liverpool are going to be very, very lucky to have that programme.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, cool. Kay. So the 31st of July, which is a Wednesday, we'll kick off at Maidstone United's Gallagher Stadium with the Trust, the Stones Trust, to help, again, this community that's really important to us. That will go for another 10 consecutive weeks. We've also then got, we are actually pulling together a sleep out event. It's almost like a precursor to a more kind of grander official event that we're going to do later in once the season started.
Right.
And actually Fran commented in there very kindly, is leading the charge on that. What we're aiming to do is, I guess there's a real drive for us to really, like you mentioned earlier, Paul, to inspire the next generation.
Yeah.
And we really want to engage and inspire those younger people with some genuine, inspiring role models. So there's a campaign that Fran has coined, Purpose Over Pouts. I'm just going to say goodbye to Tabba.
Bye,
Tabba.
Oh, sorry.
But there's a campaign called Purpose Over Pouts, so the hashtag there, Purpose Over Pouts. And Fran has pulled together an incredible group of real influencers within sort of females in business, if you like. And they have, if you like, a glitzy awards dinner, Paul, this Saturday in London. And very, very generously, they've decided that rather than carry on into the early hours and maybe get a bit merry, they're actually going to board a train and come down to Maidstone United's ground and sleep rough for that night.
Okay.
And that's going to effectively sort of cement our idea of having a grander sleep out for the local community. I mean, anyone can join us for this one. This Saturday, it's streetsoccersleepout.co.uk. You can sign up, obviously, for free. We ask just for a little donation to join us on the night. But really, it's a kind of informal affair. We're coming together and just to kind of, I guess, test the actual event itself before we really launch it properly once the season's got started. But we want to do more events like that, Paul. We want to give an opportunity to the Kent community to get involved with what we're doing.
I've been involved in things like that in the past as well, and it's a real eye-opener. Although it's a bit of a party atmosphere, and if you had been on the source, you may have been sleeping rough anyway. It's going to miss your last train.
It's going to be a dry event, Paul.
Yeah, exactly. Well, as you know, I don't drink alcohol anyway, but... But one of the interesting things is, having been involved in sleepouts before, is what an eye-opener it is of how difficult it is living on the street, even in the middle of the summer. Yeah. And if you think about what it's like in the middle of the winter, it doesn't bear thinking about. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to add is specifically talking about Kent, okay, so recent statistics, I think this is from Shelter, and these are always going to be varied because there's a real hidden homeless agenda, as I think all of us around this table know, and a lot of people listening in. But the last statistic was saying that there's more than 5,000 that are homeless currently across Kent.
Right.
So that gives you an indication of the real issue that we've got. Mm. More nationally, particularly on the young person side, again, statistics, I think sort of Christmas last year, there's more than 100,000 young people aged under 25 that approached their local authority ultimately to ask for help because they were homeless and didn't have anywhere to live or go. So that's a real issue. However, having said that, I'll quickly add that my view, and I know this is shared with John Sparks, who's the CEO at Crisis, who I met last week. Mm. We sat down, and he, interestingly, for those that are listening, I'm sure, he talked me through, in brief, a 10-year strategy that's planning the demise of that charity because he doesn't want it to exist anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Because ultimately he wants to end homelessness. And we've got a real similar outlook. You know, we obviously are supporting at our core those that are homeless and are at risk of such. But naturally, anyone that's vulnerable and at risk, we will further support as well. But I think fundamentally, Kent is a really important county to us. There's a lot of work to be done, but we're fortunate that we've got so many amazing business supporters and leaders across the county that get what we're doing. Mm. And Kay very generously mentioned, I'm really appreciative of the fact that I guess I founded it, and I guess I'm there to lead and drive it. But it, honest to God, it's a real partnership-driven exercise. I mean, you included, Paul. You know, I'm looking at you there. You're a real mentor to me, and you know that. Real massive support. Roof here. You know, I've been frozen. You know, we like to support back. We like to give back. And I think that's really important. Lots of people out there helping each other.
It's done well for you, Keith, because I've seen more meat on a butcher's pencil, mate.
Okay, over to you.
Thank you. No, I mean, just to touch on how hard it is to sleep out, I slept out last year at one of our events, and I was in a safe environment, but all I could see at some points was just the black sky and the stars. And you say we have a bit of a jolly up. There was a lot of other people, but at that moment in time when you're feeling the concrete scary, underneath you, you don't remember that there's people around you. And it's quite terrifying, and it's quite cold, and it's lonely, and it's quiet, and you can hear noises that you didn't know existed. So, you know, for me to do it again this weekend is a challenge, you know. But on Sunday morning, I'll have my home and my comfortable bed to go back to. And we have to remember that the people sleeping on the streets don't have that luxury.
No, absolutely. Listen, guys, we could talk about this forever. It's such a powerful thing that you're doing. What I want each of you to do now is to give me a shout out for how people can find out more about your organisations and what you're doing. So, Keith, how do people find out about the Street Soccer Foundation?
I'd be really grateful if everyone that's listening could kindly jump onto our Twitter handle, which is Street Soccer CIC. That's the easiest way to keep up to date with what we're doing, because we're regularly posting on there. Mm. Obviously, the website as well, the official site is streetsoccerfoundation.org.uk.
Fantastic.
And ours, if everyone could jump on at Stones Trust. I'm giving updates regularly as I can on what projects are going ahead and how you can be involved. And our website is www.stonescommunitytrust.org.uk.
Fantastic. We've got a link to the Street Soccer Foundation on the Kent Business Radio. Within half an hour at the end of the show, we will also have a link to the Stones Trust, and both of those will stay there forever.
Thank you.
Keep on doing what you're doing. You guys are doing a fabulous job. You're making a big difference, and there are so many people that really appreciate what you've done, both people that you've helped, but also people in the rest of the community that can see how powerful what you're doing is. So keep on keeping on doing what you're doing, and thank you so much for coming and sharing your stories with us here on the Business Bunker Show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Keith Maverick and Kay Skelton, thank you so much. We've got a few minutes before the end of the show.
Paul, really quickly, I've got a gift for you here.
Oh, have you?
It's
what you got?
It's official attire.
Is it a triple extra large?
It's actually, I think I went that way. Oh, no, it's only a double extra large.
Oh, that'll be right. I'm swimming down.
This is for you, Paul.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
It's an official Street Soccer top to say thank you for your support.
You're a star. Thank you. I shall take some photographs of that later and post them on the Twitter account too. Oh, that's brilliant. Now, that'll fit. Yeah. If it doesn't, when Ruth's had me lumps off, it will.
So hopefully at the next Academy we can invite you down with your shirt on.
Absolutely,
to meet the guys.
I'm absolutely more than happy to do that.
Great plug, I love that.
Yeah. I'm more than happy to do that.
Thank you very much for everything, though, Paul.
It's an absolute pleasure. You know, you guys have done such a fantastic job. And I've had the pleasure of coming down to street soccer at Cobham a couple of times to do different things, and I've seen the attitude of the young people there and the people that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis and the difference it's made in their lives. It is really important. So keep on keeping on. Thank you so much. Tabitha's had to leave us because she's apparently got a business to run or something. she had to get away to Folkestone. So a big thank you to her. Bird has been on, and she was threatening to ring in from Rwanda, but the phone hasn't rung yet. But I've got a few more emails that I need to read to you in the last couple of minutes before the show ends. I've had an email from the Bank of England. Apparently they want to borrow some money. No. The Bank of England... they're holding our first Bank of England Southeast Citizens Panel, and it's in Thanet on July the 15th. So they say, we're setting up citizens panels so that we can listen directly to you. We want to hear what you have to say about jobs, pay, the cost of living. We'd like to know about your experiences of the housing market and how easy it is to find, borrow and save money. Taking part means that you can put your views directly to the people that make the decisions that affect your life. So you're going to be talking to people from the Bank of England, the economists and the agents like Phil Eckersley and Alex Gollidge and people like that from the Bank of England South East who have a direct input into how policy is formulated. So you can join our panel and have your say directly. To sign up for it, it's completely free. If you go to bankofengland.co.uk/outreach/citizens panels. And the Thanet one is taking place this week on the 15th of July, which I think is what, 15th of July? No, it's next week, isn't next it? Week. Next Monday. Yep. So do sign up for that. They're fascinating. They're interesting. I'm actually on the regional panel of the Bank of England, and we have quarterly meetings, and they're absolutely fascinating. Besides us feeding back what's happening on the ground, you get feedback for what they see is at the macroeconomic level, the kind of things that are happening, and it's unbelievably fascinating how they formulate their economic ideas. You know, a copper shortage in Mozambique causes the Brazilian coffee harvest to fail, which means some bank in Belize no longer has a derivative that they, you know, it's just these kind of connections that show you how complex the world of economics is and how complex things can get and the range of things they look at to build their plans and why they can be a bit hit and miss sometimes. So fascinating. If you get a chance, do join the panel in Thanet on the 15th of July. I did tell you earlier, but I'm going to tell you again because it's such a good event, and we know that there's only two tickets left now because Diamond Weddings just booked some. But it's join us for the next entertaining evening of storytelling. Each session will bring storytellers ready and willing to pass on their lessons learnt, the ups and downs of business, and to give a taster of life in their shoes. This is not a time for pitching products. It's a time to hear about the personal experiences of fellow business women and men. The stories might be amusing, challenging, inspirational, or even a little sad, but they'll definitely be worth hearing. The next event is on Thursday, the 11th of July. It's 18:45. That's 6:45 in English, till 9:00. It's at the Innovation Centre in Medway. That's in the Maystone Road, Chatham. There's lots of nibbles, drinks, and five fabulous stories, so do join in. It's a fun evening. And you can order your tickets via Eventbrite. So it's www.eventbrite.co.uk/ The Business Diaries tickets. So come along. There's only two tickets left. The Kent Creative Awards are back for 2019, and entries are now open to nominate people for awards. It's for Kent-based artists, creatives and cultural organisations who contribute to the cultural and creative scene in Kent and who also live or are located in the county. The closing date to make an entry is August the 16th. And the Kent Creatives Awards are supported by Roger Gale MP. He's the MP for Margate. And he said, I'm delighted we will be welcoming the Kent Creative Awards 2019. The awards dinner is taking place at Dreamland. And Eddie Kennersley, who's the CEO of Dreamland, said, "We're delighted to be hosting the Kent Creative Awards 2019. Promoting creativity and cultural growth in our community has always been a priority. If you want to find out more about it, there's 12 different categories you can enter as well. If you want to find out all the information, if you go to kentcreativearts.co.uk/Kent Creative Awards. That's kentcreativearts.co.uk/Kent Creative Awards. We're nearly there. Orchard Employment Law are going to be hosting, I think Tabitha may have read this, but I'm going to read it again because I just don't care. Lunch and learn about employment law and health and safety. Orchard Employment Law hosts with HawkSafe. Are you prepared for the changes in law which will take place next year? Do you know how to conduct a risk assessment? This seminar will improve your knowledge of employment law and health and safety so that you can manage staff more confidently and effectively. Orchard Employment Law and HawkSafe have joined together for this lunch. And you can learn this lunch and learn event to help local business owners and managers with these important topics. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes is an employment law specialist, a trainer and a public speaker. And Gemma's going to be talking about the 2020 changes in employment law legislation, what should be in an employment contract, and managing staff absences and performance. Andy Haith is a health and safety consultant, a CITB accredited trainer and risk assessor, and he's going to be talking about what are your risk assessment needs. We'll look at all that it requires with respect to risk assessment, how you know what your business needs to do, and we'll also concentrate on hazards, and as this is the foundation of the assessment process. And they say, we know you can't feed your brain on an empty stomach, so we'll provide lunch as well. So lunch is included, and it's taking place on Wednesday, the 18th of September, and it's at 12 p.m. at the K Sports Ground in Cobdown in Aylesford and Maidstone. And if you want to book a ticket, it's eventbrite.com/lunch, learn about employment, health and safety. So do check that out. But we've reached the end of another show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend 2 hours with you. I want to say a massive thank you to my co-host, the lovely Tabitha Beasley. Tabitha is TMA on the Twitter. And my fantastic guest, the brilliant Ruth Hyde of Cryojuvenate.
Thank you.
The Fat Buster. Sorry about that. Lovely Ruth Hyde of Cryojuvenate. And, of course, the fantastic Mr. Keith Mabbott of Street Soccer Foundation, and the lovely Kay Skelton from Maidstone United and Stones Community Trust. Right. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody. In the meantime, bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.